Good evening and welcome. Before I go on to the briefing that I normally do before the meeting starts, and I'm standing up before you because I'd like to take this opportunity to say a few words. So before I start the meeting, I'd like to thank and take the opportunity to thank you and our staff for your time and support over the past 4 years for the benefit of the town, its residents and visitors. It's not all been plain sailing, but I do feel a lot has been achieved over the last 4 years. Most importantly, in my opinion, the majority of decisions have been agreed across party lines, and long may it continue in the future. Due to local elections in May, as we all know, there will be people who have decided not to stand again or step down, but I wish them all the very best, and perhaps those people may decide to return in the future. Those who are not re-elected, please don't give up. That's what happened to me, 8 years ago. Because the road is always there. So what you need to do is use the time and get out and about and re-establish yourselves and use the time wisely. And on completion of the meeting tonight, I invite you all to refreshment downstairs as a whole. I wish to remind the council that you are in Purdah and request that during the meeting no mention of political parties are to be used, please. So I thank you for that. So we have a guest tonight, which is David Eaton from Devon and Cornwall Police, the Police Crime and Commissioner's Office, and I welcome also our two members of the public to the meeting. I remind you that the meeting is being recorded, therefore may I request that we be aware that any comment is to go through myself and not directed to individuals. When items are to be debated, I again request all comments through the chair. If a comment or the same answer to a question has been addressed, I wish to request that it not be repeated. So, here we go. Apologies, please.
I haven't got any apologies that have been recorded in advance, unless anybody's been advanced by me. Darren Nicholas.
Anybody else? Richard will be here.
Okay. Thank you.
Have we any members of the public wish to speak?
Nobody's registered to speak.
Okay. Before I go on to the council meetings, may I take this opportunity to ask your permission to bring item 7 forward to go behind item 5. Everybody okay with that? Thank you very much. Much appreciated. Council meeting minutes to confirm the last council minutes. So, 253. Nope. 254. 255. 256. 257 and 258. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
There are any matters arising from those council minutes? May I have a proposer and a seconder of the council minutes, please? Steve and Brian Cole, please. All those in favour, please show. Those against, if any, carry. Thank you. Item four, declarations of pecuniary interest in dispensations. That's the first time I've actually said that properly without my teeth falling out. Should we go round? Is anybody? Steve?
Yes, Jeff. It's just on the paper that Lisa brought round the arts and culture forum before. It's just to declare that I've recently become the chair of the trustees of Exmouth Museum. I'm obviously the old meeting, so questions
being asked. Thank you very much. Brian Cole?
I'd like to declare an interest on that item as well. My wife is the secretary of the group.
Okay. Anybody else? Super. None. To resolve that the press, item five, to resolve that the press and public be excluded from the meeting during the considerations of items in part two of the agenda, as it involves the likely disclosure of exempt information as defined in part one, schedule 12A of the Local Government Act 1972. We do have that item at the end. So that brings me nicely into welcoming again David Eaton from Devon and Cornwall Police and Crime Commissioner's Office to give us a report on the CCTV system, please. Over to you, David. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for your invite to attend the meeting. There are a number of familiar faces around the room, which is a good sign of the amount of participation there's been through the working group and through visits to Exeter CCTV control room in understanding and developing a position on where Exeter CCTV system goes in the future. And I'd also thank you, Chair, for moving the item forward. Not that I am in any way disinterested in the numerous reports which you're going to receive from different members. However, you appreciate the fact that I will eat a little earlier. Okay, what I thought I would do is just spend 5 or 10 minutes giving you a little bit of background. You've got a comprehensive report from Lisa on the current position with regard to the Exeter CCTV system, the options available to you, the possible costs of pursuing one of those options, and a recommendation to go with it. This decision by the Town Council would sit within a much wider framework in that the PCC, when she came into office, very quickly took the view that CCTV was one area in which she could make a positive contribution, not politically, but in order to support the police at a time when they had just been through a period, as you know, of years of reducing numbers, both for officers and staff. 500 or 600 officers, 500 or 600 staff had gone. CCTV does not in any way replace a police officer on your streets. However, it does offer a reassurance that might not be there otherwise. And her interest right from the start was that we might be able, by grant funding, to support towns which wish to either upgrade or install new systems in enhancing that reassurance, safeguarding the people, safeguarding the vulnerable people, supporting people who work in the nighttime economy, and obviously the traditional role of CCTV in detection, investigation, prosecution, and so on. And so she decided to set aside an initial grant of £200,000, I got involved, and we looked around. There was a huge mismatch of provision across the two counties, and obviously she's responsible for two counties, with ailing broken down systems, no systems, and one or two state-of-the-art systems. But the Cornwall Fire, under the support of Cornwall County Council, had taken an initiative to set up a coordinated approach to supporting CCTV in towns in West Cornwall originally, and had developed an extension of their control room which would allow them to provide a monitoring service to those towns that wish to buy into it, and obviously it was at a cost. So they already had 8 towns in West Cornwall hooked into the Tolvanen control room, which is in Campbell, and the emergency service fire service control room has a separate section which deals with the CCTV monitoring element. And they had a contract in place which was a standard contract that's now very flexible, and the other potential monitoring hubs are equally flexible in their approach. But the standard contract was that we signed up, and the towns themselves came up with it. They sort of compromised and said, okay, we'll go for 44 hours a week of live monitoring, if you like, with the rest of the time covered by recorded monitoring, accessible to the police and the control room staff. And that that would therefore work out at four 11-hour shifts across the weekend from Thursday. We liked that model, although we did want to see it varied slightly, so we decided that we would support Cornwall Fire in extending that into other towns in Cornwall, and they have now got 12 signed up and another four or five going down the road towards it. In Devon, the situation was much more complex. We didn't have the equivalent of Cornwall Fire. We didn't have one hub which seemed to fit the needs of all of the Devon towns. And so we started work with Exeter, Torbay, Plymouth, not much at first, but certainly now, and also North Devon District Council, where they have a smaller hub in Barnstaple. And the intention was to support those control rooms in upgrading so that they could provide a service to towns that wish to book into them. And the connections are by fibre link. And we then came up with a formula whereby we could offer grant funding both to the hub to upgrade itself and to the towns which wish to take forward this in terms of a capital grant. We don't have an ongoing budget which allows us to get involved in revenue funding, but we did have a significant initial budget for CCTV, and that's since been extended twice because of the demand. And therefore we came up with a formula which said that for a town we would offer either 30% or up to a maximum of £15,000 towards the cost of the upgrading of the CCTV system, or the installation of a new system, and also the connection cost into the hub, which is always significant because it's a fibre link. There are various towns have said, well, we can do it by broadband, there are other ways of doing it. The problem always is that the uploading and download capacity of internet-based systems isn't sufficient to allow the control room to really run the cameras in the towns effectively. You get time lags, discontinuity, and that then causes problems for evidential quality footage if it goes into the Crown Prosecution Service. So we started down that road, and we now have between 10 and 15 towns who are either have already made a decision to install a new system and apply for a grant which they've received, or are at your stage where they're exploring and making decisions. The parallel project which we're running is that all of those control rooms will be connected to each other, which means that any footage generated by any camera in any town in Devon or Cornwall will go into a control room. That control room will link into a police control room. And both police control rooms, there are two, one in Cranbrook, Plymouth, and one in Exeter, are joined together as well. So in simple terms, if an officer in Exeter is looking at incidents which are taking place across the two counties, they can access any camera anywhere in the two counties as long as they are 5 minutes into the control room. And they've got the historical footage going back for the last 30 days. They can also access it live at any point. Even if you weren't being live monitored, your cameras can be turned into live monitoring by the operators in the control room and the police can see what's going on. Yeah. Did you wish to ask a question?
I was just attracting exactly those attention and questions.
Carry on.
Okay, sorry to interrupt you. No, that's not a problem at all. So that's the stage we got to. Then the question was, how will this work in practice? Well, I've visited two or three times. We've had meetings with your working group, which I have to say is exemplary across the two counties in getting organised and exploring options in depth, rather than simply leaving it to an interested councillor or the town clerk to try and progress it, and then go to the council who may not have much background knowledge of exactly what they've been asked to make a vote on. So we've had two or three quotes in already. We use one particular firm, not because they're preferred, they're not at all preferred, but we know they meet certain standards in terms of the quality of the cameras, the evidential quality of footage from CPS, and the government have requirements as well, and that they're called full stop, so they're one of the quotes. But we always say that that we will then support the council in getting other quotes on a like-for-like basis, essentially by stripping out their quote and reducing it to the specification elements, number of cameras, positions, locations, data quality and so on, so that you know you're getting like-for-like quotes, and then it's up to the council. So we don't have a preferred provider. We use them because they're free and they're reliable to us, but we do not back them against any other provider. So we've gone through that process, and you now have two or three quotes, as I say. You have an outline of the funding that may be available. The PCC will offer 15,000, and the report sets out the possible grant contributions from others. I have to say that if I was to look at a smaller scale system that comes out at a similar price, Weybridge, St Ives, for example, at 55,000, we were paying 15,000, and the council were paying the rest, because there weren't the other elements of funding available to them. So in terms of the council contribution to this, certainly from my point of view, Exmouth have a very good deal on the table. That you may choose to take a view for other reasons, but certainly in financial terms it's a good deal, because you have secured potential funding from others, which not a lot of councils have been able to do. We're not here to sell this, in that there's no particular benefit to us. We're here to offer the grant funding and explain how the network operates. Where this sits in terms of the wider policing world is that those control rooms will be connected. So if you picture a giant spider's web across Devon and Cornwall, in which every town that is participating and every camera that is in that network is, by its very nature, networked across the rest of the system, which gives the police access. More interestingly, in terms of the next 5 years or so, the CCTV will also connect into the wider police digital programme. So, for example, you already probably see TV stuff about drones, which will send their footage down into the CCTV network. Officers' handsets are being upgraded so that they can access CCTV footage live from cameras in their areas. Their body-worn video is also connected into that system. There is huge potential for the use of facial recognition and vehicle tracking across the two counties. And when you think about the impact of county lines and so on, then from the police's operational point of view, they're very pleased to see this as an opportunity to access a huge amount of data without having to leave Middlemore or Crown Hill. The footage that is recorded here, because it would be sent up the line to Exeter, and access there means that we won't have police coming around requesting somebody to burn off footage which they take away on a CD or a memory stick. They'll be able to sit at a laptop or a PC in a police station and access whatever footage they need to look at. It does mean that because your footage is all transmitted to Exeter, you're not responsible for that data. So you do not have the same obligations once you're into the network of a town with a completely independent system, where you would have to manage the data, be compliant with the Surveillance Commissioner, GDPR and all the rest of it. Because actually you, as council officials, for example, wouldn't be accessing that footage. You wouldn't need to. That would be for the police. Exeter are going through a major decision as to what level of upgrade they do in the city and in their control room. We have said we'll give them a significant contribution to the control room side. And they are about to make a decision at the next council meeting, and then if they go ahead, go out to tender. And we have said that one of the requirements of our funding is that they do the control room work first, so that the towns which have gone ahead and installed systems can then connect in. And they're more than pleased with that, because obviously they're looking for business. We also insist that it's not a profit-making exercise by the hubs, so there is a sort of standard package of costs which they can charge, as we didn't want a cutthroat competition between the hubs as to who could do the cheapest deal, because in 5 years' time that could all change. So it's based on the Cornwall model, and they've worked together and said, yeah, we're fine to sort of take it, to work collaboratively rather than in competition with each other. There'll be a time lag. If you went ahead today with a decision, then you would need to go through a tender process. If you then went ahead and appointed a provider who would do the installations, which don't take long, or week or two. Your system would then be fully operational, record only in the town, and the company that installs it would be required to provide a laptop so the police would have access straight away, so there'd be local access to it, but it wouldn't get transmitted to Exeter. That would follow at a later date. However, because it's police access to the data, then they don't have the same requirement from the Surveillance Commissioner, because they have the right operationally to view whatever they want to view. So your system would be up and running and working. The connection would come up at a later stage, hopefully in the autumn, but certainly by the beginning of next year. I noted at the last working party meeting, I'm going to finish now, and one of the things that struck me now three times at three different meetings is that Exmouth has declared itself to be a dementia-friendly town. I was in this garden, they had gone the same way, and I was in another town last week, they had gone the same way. And the first thing I said was, well, if you wish to say to your citizen, if they say, what are you doing to prove that you're dementia-friendly? To me, CCTV is one of those key resources that you have because of its value in tracking missing persons helping those people who find themselves stranded, lost, children who go lost during the summer season or whatever. So that's the bigger picture. I'm going to stop at that point. I'm not going to go into the report that you've been presented with. You've got the background in front of you, but I'm more than happy to take whatever questions, Chair. Thank you.
But before I open it up for people to speak, I'd just like to thank you very much, David, for your patience. It is a much needed piece of equipment for the town and for its residents and visitors, and I'm hoping that as a council we will move forward. But before that, I will open it up for questions. So I have Brian Bailey first, followed by John Pumphreys and Fred Cahill. So Brian first, please.
David, could you?
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. I have to shout, Chair, my apologies.
Can you use the next one? Because you can pick it up.
I don't know what's happened with this. Ah, something's happening there. No, mine's all right.
It's
all
right. You're on there.
We're on, thank you very much, John. What I appreciate we're being offered, no doubt, an attractive deal on this. I'm in favour of it in general. What concerns me is the ongoing running cost. Have you any idea, sir, how much it would cost per annum?
Yes, I think the figure is quoted in your report. Obviously, the cost... My apologies, sorry, I'll get used to it. The cost will depend to an extent on what level of service you require, and that's why we say to the hubs you must be flexible. So we're not saying in Devon there's a standard 44 hours a week package which any town that signs up has to sign up to. That's for negotiation with the hub. As a general rule, it has worked out for those towns at about £1,000 a camera for the 44 hours of coverage.
Per annum?
Per annum. Yes, per annum.
Per annum.
Per annum. However, you know, my view is that you would be the biggest, along with Barnstable, perhaps the biggest town in Devon, which would be in a position, I think, to negotiate with a hub on the grounds that that number of cameras, you know, seems to me that's quite high. So I think if you had that as a starting figure and said, well, do we need 17 cameras monitored for a start? Are they all equally important? Have we got key cameras that we could have live monitored and others on record only? How many hours would we actually want in Exmouth? And that's something to be discussed with police officers, obviously, in terms of hotspots. And I know that East Devon do log all of the activity generated by the CCTV system, and therefore what we talked about the last working group was going back and looking at the last year's activity in order to assess where the demand might be. Generally towns, medium-sized towns, say, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, perhaps forget it until Thursday evening. But you may well find from that data that the town has different hotspots to others that you want to cover. And because you're such a popular tourist town, that, you know, daytime monitoring might be useful. There might be an advantage in buying in monitoring for specific periods. Some towns feel, well, we don't actually need any live monitoring. Record only is fine, but connected in. However, we have a regatta week. We have a festival week. You know, Budley have just got ahead. And they say there's 1 week in the year when actually it would be really useful and we'd happily pay for it then. But we don't really need it on a Friday night in Budley. We're happy with the record only option. So there's, you're not committing to a fixed annual fee. And that can be negotiated, and you can make a decision as to what you want to spend on it. And also, you, I would say that you would be able to review that depending upon experience over the first year or two.
Right, thank you. That sounds very encouraging. Thank you.
On your notes, it's under the financial implications there, so we've got seven paragraphs on the financial implications. There are 17, as David said, there are 17 cameras at the moment, so that's £17,000 a year, depending on the hours. John?
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. My concern is the positioning of the cameras. Within many shots that you see in papers, do you recognise this individual? You cannot, because you see the top of their heads. Mm-hmm. But these days, we do have cameras that are vandal-proof. Mm-hmm. And within businesses and small households, the cameras are much lower. Mm-hmm. So when you see that shot, you actually see the face of the individual. So would these cameras be placed? Or could they be placed?
Can I answer
you?
Yeah,
sure. Okay.
Right, tonight we're going on we're actually voting for CCTV. When it comes to locations of where cameras are going to be, that is the next part.
Okay.
So,
yeah,
so which is in one of the recommendations that I'll come on to in a moment.
Right.
Does that answer at the moment?
Check. I'll just have one sentence, which is to say, because you're at this stage and others have gone down that path in Cornwall, the thing to do, which I thought we should do anyway, is invite the chairman of their management committee, because each town sits on a management committee and holds the hub to account, because obviously that you're paying them for a service, so somebody from Exmouth would sit on the Exeter management group. But we'd invite the Cornwall to come so that you could actually ask those questions to them, because they've had 3 or 4 years of experience of it.
Thank you. Fred?
Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, David. I'm going to come back to something we discussed at the last working group meeting, which was where you said that Exeter City Council was still talking about the hub. And I asked a question about what if we invest as a town council and the hub in Exeter does not happen. And you said that they weren't going to be having a meeting. Have we had the result of that meeting?
No, it's imminent. I went to a meeting to talk to them. They've now got a fully costed proposal with various options. They want to go ahead. They've got to find hundreds of thousands of pounds with some money from us. But you will have other options in the sense that Torbay have now completed the first phase of their work. They're not far away. And to be honest, in Cornwall, although the hub is in Campbell, it is now talking to North Devon about possibly doing some of the monitoring up there. Because although localism is important, in the end, you can monitor cameras from anywhere. And if you think of the monitoring across London, it's the monitoring operator who acquires the experience of the town by being in that position day after day, week after week. So you would have other options, and you're not committed to Exeter at this stage anyway.
Thank you, David. So it's still a likelihood, but we don't know.
Yeah.
A couple of other points was the other thing I spoke about was tag and track, and I'm hoping that's going to be included in the specification.
Yes, sorry. I think that if there are questions about the detail of the specification, we can pick those up with the providers. You could also include that in your tender as a specific request if that was a priority, and ask them to detail what other sophisticated if I can just have put it the other way around, the cameras are capable of working with all kinds of software which is downloaded from the control room. Mm-hmm. So almost anything could be inputted into your sort of camera system. And the reason for going for high quality is that what we wish to require is that they will be capable of being upgraded. So you're not buying a system which is set in stone. The cameras are as they are, but because it's so much of this, what sits behind it is software generated, that can be upgraded just as with your whole computer.
the assistant.
And, and one last point, I think this is an opportunity also to look at the street furniture of the old system. I took the opportunity to look at the end of Church Street, and there's a candle tower there at outside Bradley's stage. It takes up half of the pavement, so it actually reduces the width of the pavement because it's taken up half of the pavement. Now that we've got these things like 360 degree cameras, the one that's there already looks down Roll Street, and there could be an opportunity to modernise, as John was saying, some of the points, so that we have 360 cameras, so they can either look at Church Street, High Street, Old Street, up and down, and be up on brackets, so they're not actually infiltrating the footpath.
Yes, Fred, that is also in the recommendations.
It's just okay. Something that I want to go for.
I've got Brian Toy, Maddie, and then Alex. And then probably call it then, because time is getting on. So, Brian?
Yes, this follows on from John Humphrey's point. Actually, many businesses do have their own CCTV systems. I wonder whether there would be any way of linking into their systems, because it would actually improve their security as well. So you may be able to get some sort of contribution from the private CCTV operators. I'm just thinking about a situation where there's somebody threatened someone in a shop with a knife or a gun to take the takings. Would it be possible to switch to a public camera to follow that person outside of the business? So it would be a useful thing to do, but I suppose it's pretty difficult to network it.
Systems can be connected together. It would obviously depend upon the quality and nature of the internal system in the shop. But of course, through things like ShopWatch and the other means of communication, they are all linked into the control room anyway, so that there are live radio feeds where that sort of thing is probably best picked up, so that a radio call immediately alerts the control room next to pick up camera 5, which is at the top of Wall Street or whatever. So yes, I mean, I can't say that every system would be capable of being connected, but you can have a connection which is by the radio links in order to alert the control room.
Thank you, Maddie.
Thank you. Well, having been told that what we have got is absolute rubbish, and it's not really helping the police, the fact that we have a number of sources putting forward money to assist us, I would like to think that we would go for some really good equipment that will last. For the safety of the residents and visitors, our families, everyone. And yes, I think the camera network needs to be adjusted. That's in the recommendations. I think it is important we go down the line. Having been to the Exeter Hub and seen how the really good cameras work, and how the operators can zoom in and out is quite staggering. I think it would be a good deterrent to certain holiday makers that come down and cause trouble to get them on camera. And they can pick up outside the shops, because most of the shops and businesses do have alarms, and when they go off, the control centres tend to clock in, don't they? And they can catch them coming out. So I think it's brilliant. I think it's something we need to do. We've been offered money from different sources. I think we should accept it and go for it and get rid of the antiquated stuff that was around town. Thank you, Jan.
Thank you very much. Alex, then Steve, and finish off with Lynn.
I think it's great that we've managed to hopefully secure this funding to upgrade the system, as Maddie points out, sounds like it needs doing. My question is around the ongoing costs, so alluded to around £17,000 potentially per annum. I suppose it's to Lisa as to how do we foresee funding that on an ongoing basis for maybe the next sort of 5 years?
So we'd have to fund it through our precept. But you know, we've got £35,000 in reserves that will contribute towards the capital costs in the first instance. and then we'd have to budget for it as a revenue item going forward.
So I just want to be clear that it's not something that the reserves will obviously run out in due course for that, and then we would be looking to fund that through potentially additional on the council tax.
Yes, yes.
Chair, can I just make a comment? And of course that 17,000 is based on a 44-hour a week package. So if you said, well, actually we have this amount of monitoring at present, let's, for example, try a year of 2 12-hour shifts on Fridays and Saturdays. So then you'd be down to 24 hours, so you'd be virtually halving that ongoing cost. So we don't see it, it's not an either or. There is room to manoeuvre in there, depending upon the budget you wish to allocate from revenue.
Can I just clarify one thing though, that the income that we get from the solar farm, that is a recurring income, and we have to use that for community benefit. So, you know, as I've said in my report, I think that's a really good fit, because we have to spend it on something for the community. So you've got that as a starting point as a revenue budget anyway every year.
Thank you. Steve?
Just a question, Chair. I'd like to speak to the recommendation. Are we in a position to do that?
Yep. It's your call for that. To clarify, because I can see there's some issues over. So the recommendations that we got, it's recommended that the town clerk is given delegated authority to, and there are six parts to this, A, work with the local policing team to identify if the existing camera network meets the current operational needs of the police, or if any adjustments are advised. So that answers one of the questions, Councillor Cogill. Two, will be work with David Eaton of the PCC to establish the specification and operating requirements for a new CCTV system in Exmouth based on the PCC's grant funding criteria, which is what we went through at our working party. C, submit a formal application to the OPCC for funding towards the capital cost of the new system. D, proceed with a tendering exercise for a new CCTV system, which would be within the ownership of Exmouth Town Council. E, work with David Eaton to establish the necessary operating protocols and code of conduct for the new system so that it complies with all associated legislation. And finally, F, assist others to install and maintain.
No, that's on a different sheet.
Oh, my apologies.
Yeah.
It's just a five.
Yeah.
So, those are the recommendations. Steve.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. I'm very happy to move the recommendation because I think this is a once in a lifetime opportunity with the offer that we have on the table. And I think if we don't grasp the nettle, we will lose a substantial amount of funding and probably won't be in this position again. So I'm more than happy to move it, Chair. But there was just, you know, in our working party, we did discuss, I'm looking at Lisa here, that whatever, if the decision is to go ahead with it tonight, we did agree that we would call a special working party meeting to try and move this forward in order that we can have some continuity, if you like, on a lot of the ideas that have been discussed, and also to give the new council a guide how to go forward. But so that will still happen then. Okay. So I'm quite happy, Chair, to move recommendations.
I'll second that, Chair. In the spirit of unity.
I'm not writing it, but who's proposing a second list?
Jackie, Michael.
I think it's very important that we go forward with this because as we're having more police cuts, this actually makes the people of Exmouth much safer. And where there's not so many police around, then you can monitor it from the station. I think that's that's, you know, there's so much crime that does go on, which you can see on CTV, and there's been several things that have happened, which are CTV, has been no good. You haven't been able to use it for evidence because it's not clear pictures.
So thank you very much for that, Pauline. So I have a proposer, Steve Gazzard, seconded by Pauline Stott. All those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Carried.
Thank you, Chair. I take my leave. I leave you many, many items of interesting business tonight. But before I do, though, can I also give you an assurance that we would be happy to continue to work with your working group, to continue to work on how you make this happen. We don't just give you some money and walk away. And also a key element for us is how we make that CCTV system responsive to the town's needs. So we will be putting in KPIs where we require the police to provide data on how the CCTV footage is used, which cameras are in the best positions if any need relocating. So it'll be an ongoing commitment, not simply, here's some money now, get on with it. You know, but I'm very pleased with the decision you made. Exmouth was probably our key Devon town to have in this network simply because of its size and its importance as a tourist centre as well as a commercial centre. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much, David. I thank you for your report. Again, I thank you for helping yourself for the benefit of this town council and the residents. And
see you again.
Way forward is upwards. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you.
Thank
you.
He's got his dinner.
Do you want the order? Is that what's happened?
Yes.
Okay, so after the agenda, we got about...
Is that all the planning next?
Planning is next.
Yeah.
So, look at page 253 of planning minutes.
Right, thank you, councillors. We move on.
Sorry. I wanted to raise a point of order, Chairman, now we've done that first business. And what I wanted to do was to challenge your interpretation of the PERS system. You said that no one should mention political parties during the debates here tonight. I think that would be an extraordinarily extreme interpretation of further. I think if you went round the country now and heard debates in the lead up to council elections, you would find council political party policy being mentioned regularly. I think the idea of further, and I will ask the town clerk if she can comment in a minute, but I think the idea of further is so that we do not involve the council as a whole in being committed in any way to a political party policy or embarrass or implicate officers in favouring one party over another. And I think that's the point. And I think having the press here tonight, they would want to comment on anything that came up which was of a party political nature. So I think to rule that out is a denial of freedom of speech.
Well, my understanding of PERDA is that, you know, any meetings that are held in the public domain or any publicity that is issued is not to be politically referenced during this time. That's my interpretation of it.
That is exactly what I meant.
That because this is a public meeting and it's being recorded, it's a form of publicity, and therefore there should be no political interpretation put on any of the council business that we're debating during that time. That's my interpretation of it, based on the guidance that I've been given.
So I'm moving on now to item 6, to receive and consider reports and minutes on committees, working parties, other local bodies and the town clerk, deputy town clerk, as appropriate. So first of all, planning committee.
Chairman, I've read the minutes of the meeting held on the 21st of January 2019, 4th of February 2019, 18th of February 2019 and 4th of March 2019 and consider any recommendations therein. I would just like to make members aware that following the outcome of the neighbourhood plan, was originally thought that the considerations that need to be made from the neighbourhood plan would not be in place until June. However, it's been discussed at East End District Council at the cabinet meeting this week, and therefore it will come into operation. But I have had questions from councillors concerning training and concerning awareness of how the neighbourhood plan does affect planning decisions. It is my proposal that we have any training is left for the new council, as any new councillors that come on to Exmouth Town Council who come on to the planning committee would need training in any case, and therefore this could be dovetailed into the neighbourhood plan decisions that we need to make. So therefore, for the next two planning meetings before the election, we'll obviously take guidance through the planning clerks on any matters that come before us at those meetings. I have just that's clarified matters for councillors. But I move the planning committee minutes as described earlier. Thank you.
Second of Fred. Those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. So that's carried. Thank you. Move on to the Finance Committee, Cherry.
There is an error on the minutes, and it's thanks to my colleague sitting over there who put me up tonight and said, "Have you noticed?" And apparently, our next meeting is on the 7th of February 2019.
Certainly.
I would like you to receive the minutes of the meetings held on February 2019 and consider any recommendations therein.
Thank you, Mr. President. Secretary is Bruce. Those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Thank you, Carrie. Okay. Moving swiftly on to Town Clerk's report, please.
Okay, so everybody's had a copy of the report. I think it is self-explanatory. Has anybody got any questions that they wish to ask? No. Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Deputy Clerk's report, please.
So everybody's had Chetna's report. Has anybody got any questions on items that she's highlighted?
S106, Bruce.
I move the minutes as per the list notes of the minutes held on the 29th of January. Obviously, I so moved.
You don't need a formal proposer and seconder because they're just meeting notes.
Quality council notes, anything new on that, Lisa? That we need to know, we said we just had notes.
No, just to say that we are working towards the next category of Quality Council status, and we're making good progress on that, and we'll keep you updated through the working party. Next meeting's on the 6th of June.
Thank you. ETP, Tim, anything different than the notes?
Just to say then, Chair, there was a question on the question there, action log and matters arising about the bus shelter in Salton Road. This has been done, and local residents have been cheering. They've now got timetables, etc. So that was good. And just to say one other thing to report back that I've been in touch with Stagecoach's local operations manager and checked that we can report in things that we don't like about our September's timetable, as well as commenting on their current consultation. And if anybody needs, I've got details that I can feed for taking part in the consultation.
And just to give you an update, the cycle path to Budley has now been reinstalled, as well as the cycle path right at the Estuary Trail. There will be some work on that later in the year. Okay. Thank you very much for that, Tim, and your committee. Town team, Lisa?
Again, the notes are self-explanatory. There's quite a lot of work going on with regard to the reinstatement of the dinosaur trail at the moment, but the notes give the latest position.
Thank you very much. Plastics production, please.
Yeah, so I'll just draw your attention to the report, which is at the end of the minutes. Really just to say we've met four times since mid-January, three times since the most recent council meeting. So tonight, obviously, you've got all the minutes there, plus a summary of what we've been doing. Lots of research needed, really, to be able to get us to this point where we can come forward with some proposals as to what we want to concentrate on. The main things there was one thing that I particularly wanted to draw your attention around, the national accreditation. So just to be clear on this one, it's not Exmouth Town Council that would be going for the accreditation. That particular surface against sewage accreditation is awarded to a community, but we're proposing here that we assist that group. Oh, my mistake. We're proposing here that we assist that group in their accreditation, and that is actually necessary for them to get that as well, as well as local schools, local businesses, and work with the relevant councils. So I'm happy to take any questions.
Just a quick one with that. Do your working party need to present to the full council its terms of reference?
That's right, and having spoken to Lisa, we believe the most appropriate for that time for that will be in May, as they would need to come back to the group for that anyway. So we haven't actually got any meetings planned in now till after the May election, so we'll be looking to hopefully get those terms of reference to the next full council meeting after that to be approved, so we can start to move forward.
And the other part with that, with your notes, they need to be in draft form.
Yeah, that's fine. We can put a draft watermark on them, that's fine.
Lynn?
My only concern, Gemma, is I know there is a fit and proper
Plan
for Part B, but I'm discussing concerning the support given to this committee, or clerical support. I am concerned that some of the wording of this is not really appropriate, and therefore I would like to raise that in Part B, if I may.
Yep.
Because I don't think it's appropriate here.
It's fine.
Do you want to turn that off? Who's that? Oh, poor me.
Child.
Okay,
so, I'm so sorry.
Can I just say that on the terms of reference, on the terms of reference, we do have draft terms of reference for the working party, but I just need to make sure they're consistent with other terms of reference, and also just to say that what we're doing with terms of reference across all working parties for the annual town council meeting is we're making sure that they don't need updating to include references to the neighbourhood plan, because the neighbourhood plan implementation strategy is based very much on using the existing working party structure to fulfil some of the aspirations in the neighbourhood plan. So there's a little bit of work going on with terms of reference generally, and we'll incorporate the plastics working party terms of reference into that piece of work, and they'll all come back to full council at the annual town council meeting for ratification in May.
Thank you. Move on. Sorry, Steve.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, I'm sure you realise that, you know, this is a very important working party that's going on, and it is across the project, Chair.
It is.
And I think that is very commendable. And unfortunately, the terms of reference, this is the first time that you never bring it back because of the structure of the town council.
But we're going to discuss that at Part B, please.
Well, it'd be nice if somebody had let us know about that beforehand so that we could have known something about the chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well,
there's an item on the HR.
It is.
There's an item on the HR. The point I want to raise is that
No, we'll leave it until...
Yeah, no, I was just saying there is a note on the HR minutes. I was just saying that's why I'm raising it. I think Councillor Gazard thought I was raising it as a new issue. Oh, I'm not proposing to raise it as a new issue. It's in line with the minute in HR.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Pauline, Colt, please.
If I say anything on Colt, somebody switch on the lights for the four people in there. Don't Thank you. I'd like to present the minutes of the community organisation liaison panel held on March the 18th. They were very happy to do this presentation on the day of the plan. I think that worked out very well.
Thank you.
And that's been happy with
you. Thank you, Paul Rins. Excellent festival, that's Cherry. Notes. Anything new? Just proposed notes.
Just for noting, I
just
think.
For noting, no?
Just for noting.
Just for noting.
Thank you very much. Councillor Cahill, anything new on community resilience?
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, we had presentation given to those volunteers that could have come from Monday evening that we had it. It was a joint presentation between myself and KPS and the Environment Agency. We talked about the various different scenarios. We had about eight volunteers attended that
meeting.
But we've actually got something like 35 who expressed an interest. So there was quite a nucleus of people that only attend that meeting. That said, the people that did attend had a whole range of skills skills that they were able to bring to the party. So I would completely back that we're going to carry forward with some final detail to our plan, and eventually we will end up after the election having another meeting to try and include those volunteers that could not attend the election and carry it forward, so we eventually close it down and we'll end up with a team working for the benefit of the town.
Thank you very much, Fred. Pauline.
I just thought it would be nice if we'd had a volunteer's name that would actually be. There's nowhere in the minutes that name the volunteers that came forward. I just thought that should have been in part of the minutes.
Well, I think that's governed by data, isn't it?
We need to be really careful with GDPR that we don't disclose personal information. I mean, we have a record of who attended, but we would need to be careful how that was presented in meeting notes.
So we couldn't ask them.
No, we have a private record, but we're not allowed to put that information into the public domain. So,
yeah. Well, even if they, because you put like 10 teams, you put the businesses in there.
But the community resilience meeting that Fred helped to chair was an early days meeting. It's not part of they haven't been co-opted onto a working party and accepted the terms of reference. It was an information briefing for them. So I think we just need to be very careful with personal information.
I think that will come in the future.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you.
That's quite all right. Thank you very much for that, Councillor Scott.
That's not a problem, Councillor Train.
That's fine.
That's okay. Oh, MPSG next.
MPSG,
yep.
Just for noting.
Yes, MPSG is for noting, and I thank Lynn for her excellent update.
Thank you. Waterfront notes, everything happy with that. Brian.
At this point, of whether we need to reinforce public warnings about the dangers of entering the water in front of the water sports centre, people might assume that there's a lot of activity going on, that it's quite safe to enter the water, and we need to make sure that good public warning is given.
Right, what's happening there with the flags? The two flag, one sec, the two flag poles that are broken. Are going to be replaced, so there will be a red flag, and East Street Scene are looking at the signage as well.
But I think perhaps more public notice about it on the ladder.
right. Chetna, can you just check on that one?
Yeah. So we'll feed that back to East Devon District Council. Yeah, that's fine.
Do you want to say something, Maddy?
No, thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. Express Regeneration Board, we did say notes are attached, they're not yet published, apologies for that. District Councillors report, so we're going from left to right, so we start with John, I think. Oh, my apologies. I keep missing poor old Bruce.
Thank you, Chairman. I've circulated the Arts and Culture Forum report, which you have all had a chance to see. And I just want to thank you all for allowing me to be your representative during the Staff Council on that committee, and also to point out to you that we've spoken about health and well-being, and as you can see, a lot of these topics were covering arts and culture in relation to health and well-being. And again, as Exmouth is the largest town, it would appear to have quite a lot of attention given at East Devon. I appreciate that many people ask questions of the relationship between East Devon and Exmouth, and I think you can see from these notes that we do play a very high profile role within the Arts and Culture Forum. So thank you all very much, and that concludes my report.
John, I think,
Maddy.
Thank you. All candidates for East Devon should have received notification after the election of when they would need to go to Democratic Services, which is the secretarial and legal part of East Devon, to give their details in, get pictures done and everything like that. The reason I'm telling you as member development, we have set it all up so everything is ready for all the new councillors after election, and I think Exmouth is Thursday after the election at East Devon District Council, Blackdown House, to register. Thank you.
Cherry, anything?
Is this where you wanted to wait?
District Council?
Yeah, I know. You asked me to do something about the web. Obviously,
no.
Right.
Brenda?
Nothing.
Tim?
No, nothing from me.
Steve?
Yes, thank you, Joe. Lisa did kindly circulate the report that I did, which I hope members did find useful. I think it's quite self-explanatory, Chair, yeah. And I do understand that you don't want a debate on the following. So could I request that the new council be informed, actually has a copy of it, and it's debated in that council.
Thanks very much, Steve. Much appreciated. Thank you. And thank you for your support over the last 4 years. Brian.
Thank you, Chairman. As lead member for the Community Safety Partnership, I'm pleased to announce that the Police and Crime Commissioner has granted £11,000 to East Devon, and our partner, which is Mid Devon, has also been granted £11,000, so we can carry on our good work. Also, I believe, if I'm correct in saying, the Chief Constable has emailed most councillors to say that he is in a position to give each neighbourhood beat in East Devon an extra constable in the very near future, which is all good news. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mark?
No, thank you.
Pauline?
Yes, I mean, we have the Health Review Board on Thursday, and we're going to try and look at modular houses. We've got a presentation coming to look at the pros and cons of them, to see if they would be suitable. One of the options we're looking at will go later on after that. We're looking at mod boxes as well, which are actually good homes, but they actually have it still. And so we hope that might solve some of the solutions, you know, some of the problems that we've got.
Thank you very much, County Councillors. First of all, Christine, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, on the 12th of March, the East Devon HATOC actually looked at another spate of traffic orders that the three of us have put in, and it went through on the lot to be advertised. So those are orders that have come up since that large spate of orders, which we think have now more or less been fulfilled, I think that's fair to say. we know of any that were on that list that haven't been done, please give a shout and we'll make sure that we pursue those. But certainly, there were things that, certainly in my origin ward, trying to prevent that pile of vehicles that parks in Douglas Avenue, just by the side of the college and things like that, was sort of probably problematic. But there were several others that were to the advantage of the town. Roads, you continue to have, and this is the Littleham Council's problems with the Blunt Park development, which is not particularly well handled from their point of view. We've been very, very fortunate in the support we've had from the Environmental Health Officer at East Devon in terms of this. And we've pursued with the misuse of some of those roads and the mud that's been left on those roads persistently because it's not been much fun for the people in that particular area. And finally, the bus service, the 175 and 375 bus service. Those of you who have got to use that service, the road down through West Hill and Buddy Thornton is closed. And I did actually contact Stagecoach to say, have they been consulted? And what were they going to do? And they came back and said they would use a diversion, which meant gone all out through Knoll and to the cross and then turn, which is very bad turning. But in actual fact, I now see they're going into Knoll, into Bedlands Lane and Moor Lane, coming down to the town like that. So it isn't cut off, and you can get from Exmouth to Sidmouth. Now, perhaps take a little longer, but of course, it is in fact working. And although it looks like a long spell because it could be until the end of June, the beginning of June, before this work is finished, no, little patience, I think we'll get there.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Chair. Nothing to report, but I would like to catch up with Council this hour and reference the awareness campaign that we've been looking at the Arts and Culture Forum. The reason I was late tonight was at Livingston Parish Council, where we arranged for Devon Carers to come and do a presentation on what they're doing in reference to loneliness and how they combat it. On that subject, there was 25,000 leaflets delivered around the two wards last week on the subject of loneliness and what we can all do to combat the issue. As many of you probably will be aware, I'm going to be standing for the Exmouth Town Council in May, so I'd like to thank everyone for the 4 years. It's an absolute pleasure, and I wish all of you that are standing the best of luck for May. And the formation of the council, and I'll be back here to hopefully support you in what you're trying to achieve.
Thank you very much. We'll move on to item 8, to ratify that the underspend of £4,934.08 from the Exmouth Community Fund is held in reserve to distribute at another Dragon's Den style event in 2019-2020. So, need a proposal? Lynn?
I thought it went extremely well in our time, and it gave everybody the opportunity to put forward their organisation. The presentations were well done, and I very much like and support them to propose that we do put this under spend to a further Dragon's Den in the future. Thank you.
Steve?
Could I suggest an amendment, Chair, please? I have a suggestion. First of all, can I say that the event was really, really good, and it proved that it does work. But I was wondering, Chair, whether you want the new council to do this, that's fine. But with our grant system that we have at the present time, in order to make that £4,000 more viable, I was wondering whether it would be possible that we could, for a 12-month trial period, take 50% out and add to that £4,000, so it makes the pot bigger, so that we've got more people that we can do, and like another type of Dragon's Den with.
Yeah,
but that's just suggestion if you want to go to the next council.
So I think that's perfectly feasible, yeah. And I think there's been some discussion about that would be a good way to go forward to increase the funding pot. I don't think you need to make a decision about that tonight. I think we can do that at a future meeting. The relevance of us ratifying that the underspend goes into reserves is that if we don't have that resolution tonight that we can provide to Devon County Council, then in theory we have to send that money back. But they said if they get a resolution tonight that we'll put it into reserves and we will put it towards a similar event next year, then they will allow us to keep hold of it in our reserve. So that's the relevance of the wording of that particular motion tonight. But we can then pick up how we want to supplement that funding pot and what we want to do with that going forward. Right.
I must have said I would support what Councillor Gazzard has said, and in fact I mentioned this as well, but I would really agree with the new council.
I'm happy to second.
All right, those in favour, please show. Those against, if any. Thank you. Carry. To ratify the appointment of Thomas Westcott Chartered Accounts as the independent internal auditor for Exmouth Town Council with immediate effect. Lisa.
So this is on the agenda because our independent internal auditor has retired on ill health grounds at short notice. So we were expecting him to be able to complete the second part of our audit. As a result of that, we've gone out to quote and we need to bring in a different auditor for the second part of the year. So we're seeking ratification so that we can complete our year-end processes, that we appoint Thomas Westcott Chartered Accountants as our internal auditor. And that will enable us to complete our year-end close down.
John.
Mr Chair, I've just read the letter to Julie and I'm happy to propose that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, seconder please. Steve. Done.
Is it all in favour?
I don't know, I've written it down, yeah.
It's just some people are putting their hands up.
All those in favour please, show. Thank you very much. My shorthand is not that short, not like...
Just keeping you on your toes.
Behave yourself. great. Item 10, to note the outcome of the referendum for Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan held on the 21st of March 2019. Before we do that, I'd just like to thank everybody on that particular committee, the volunteers, the staff and the councillors that helped out. Although the turnout was a bit low,
It met the national average.
So, I really endorse your words, and I think Lynn expressed it very positively about the future in terms of how it's going to work in their planning area.
Thank you. Now come to part two. So